Good morning. So we come to the prime time of a meditation. This is 1937. I don't know, it's in February, February the 5th. My Jesus, in spite of everything, I desire very much to unite myself to you. Jesus, if this be possible, take me to yourself, for it seems to me that my heart will burst of longing for you. Oh, how very much I feel that I'm in exile. When will I find myself in the house of our Father, delighting in the happiness that streams from the Most Holy Trinity? But if it is your will that I still go on living and suffering, then I decide that you have disdained for me. Keep me here on earth for as long as you wish, even though this will be until the end of the world. O will of my Lord, be my delight and the rapture of my soul. Although the earth is so filled with people, I feel all alone, and the earth is a terrible desert to me. Have you the same feeling? I feel all alone. Although the earth is filled with people, surrounding so many people, I feel all alone. And the earth is a terrible desert to me. When there's no God, it's a desert, right? When there's no love, it's a desert. Oh, Jesus, you know and understand the fervors of my heart. You, O Lord, alone can fill me. Today, when I warned a certain young lady that she should not be standing for hours in the corridor with the men, because it was unbecoming for a well-bred young lady to do so, she apologized and promised to correct herself. She began to cry when she became aware of her thoughtlessness. As I was saying these few things to her concerning moral behavior, all the men from the ward came over and listened to my words and advice. The Jewish people even heard a few things about themselves. A certain person told me afterwards that they put their ears against the wall and listened attentively. I somehow felt they were listening, but I said what I had to say. The walls are all thin here, and one can be heard. Even then, even when speaking in a low voice, I think she was in the hospitalized. That's why she can talk to some other people. There's a woman here who was once one of our students. Naturally, she puts her patience to the test. She come to see me 7 times a day, several times a day. After each of these visits, I am tired out, but I see that the Lord Jesus has sent that soul to me. Let everything glorify you, O Lord. Patience gives glory to God. How poor the souls are. So, patience. Do you have enough patience? Huh? Enough? Patience. Not very much, eh? February 6, 1937. Today, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, I am told that there is much simplicity in you. So why do you not tell me about everything that concerns you, even the smallest details? Tell me about everything, and know that this will give me great joy. I answered, but you know about everything, Lord. And Jesus replied to me, yes, I do know, but you should not excuse yourself with the fact that I know, but with childlike simplicity, talk to me about everything. For my ears and heart are inclined towards you, and your words are dear to me. Do you ever talk to Jesus personally? Yes. Some small words and finish. That's what Faustina said. You know already. But Jesus liked to listen. So when you come to the chapel, don't say just murmuring some words and go away. Jesus yearning to hear what's happening in you. If Jesus liked the way Sister Faustina, the same, Jesus loved you too. Try to establish this relationship with Jesus. Talk to him. It's all in confidence. Nobody knows. Don't worry. Jesus won't spread your gossips. Tell him everything. When I began this big novena for three intentions, I saw a tiny insect on the ground and thought, how did it get here in the middle of winter? Then I heard the following words in my soul. You see, I'm thinking of it and sustaining it. What is it compared to you? Why was I so fearful for a moment? You know, she saw a small insect on the ground. It's winter time, snowing. And Jesus tell him, I protect them. I keep them. What about you? Of course, Jesus says, in each sparrow, no, without God's intention, won't be caught by you. And the number of your hairs being numbered, he knows. Do you know how many pieces of hairs you have? Do you know? You? Yes. Those can be seen, nothing. You're covered. I apologize to the Lord for the moment. Jesus wants me to always be a child and to leave all care to him and to submit blindly to his holy will. He took everything upon himself. Trust, simplicity, childlike. Jesus, I trust in you. This is the phrase. February 7, 1937. Today the Lord said to me, I demand of you a perfect and whole burnt offering, an offering of the will. No other sacrifice can compare with this one. I myself am directing your life and arrange things in such a way that you will be, for me, a continuous sacrifice and will always do my will. And for the accomplishments of this offering, you will unite yourself with me on the cross. I know what you can do. I myself will give you many orders directly, but I will delay the possibility of that being carried out and make it depend on others. But what the superiors will not manage to do, I myself will accomplish directly in your soul. And in the most hidden depths of your soul, a perfect holocaust will be carried out, not just for a while, but no, my daughter, that this offering will last until your death. But there's a time so that I, the Lord, will fulfill all your wishes. I delight in you as in a living host. Let nothing terrify you. I am with you. So, Jesus and the living host in you. In a different way. So Faustina offer in a way. St. Francis of Assisi with the stigmata is another way. Some people in another way. You work in Hong Kong is another way. It's a holocaust. Suffering. Crucifying. With the Lord, but he knows. Offer together. you just say yes to Jesus, whatever your will, offer your will. Today I received a note from Mother Superior forbidding me to go to bedside of the dying. I think in the hospital she's so busy visiting all the people. And the superior stopped her to do so. And so I will send to the dying obedience in place of her, or my off self, and will support the souls who are dying. So not going doesn't mean not happening. Such is God's will, and that is enough for me. That which I cannot understand now, I will learn later. So I think for obedience is important for her. Even she shouldn't do this thing, and she couldn't understand. Immediately, she thought important to do this, visit this person, that person. Can you give me a drink? Hot water. February 7, 1937. The next day, or the same day. Today I pray more fervently than ever for the Holy Father, that is Pius XI, and three priests, that God would inspire them as what He is asking of me. So the realization of this depends on them. Oh, how happy I am that the Holy Father's health is improving. Thank you. Today I heard him addressing the Eucharistic Congress, and I went there in spirit to receive the apostolic blessing by Lucas again. He stayed in Poland, better so go to Rome. February 9th, 37. Strove today. What's the mean by strove? S-H-R-O-V-E. O-V-E. Strove. What does that mean? Huh? Cold? Yeah. Tuesday, huh? During the last 2 days of the carnival, I experienced the overwhelming flood of chastisements and sins. In one instant, the Lord gave me a knowledge of the sins committed throughout the whole world during these days. I fainted from the fright, and even though I know the depths of God's mercy, I was surprised that God allows humanity to exist. All the sinfulness, and God so merciful to let it exist. And the Lord gave me to know who it is that upholds the whole existence of mankind. It is the chosen souls, those are praying for the sinfulness of the world. When the number of the chosen ones is complete, the world will cease to exist. On these 2 days, I received Holy Communion as an act of reparation, and I said to the Lord, Jesus, I offer everything today for sinners. Let the blows of your justice fall on me, and a sea of your mercy engulf the poor sinners. And the Lord heard my prayers. Many souls returned to the Lord, but I was in agony under the yoke of God's justice. She's painful. I felt I was the object of the anger of the Most Holy, Most High God. By evening, my sufferings had reached such a state of interior desolation that moans welled up involuntarily from my breast. I locked the door of my room and began an adoration, that is to say, a holy hour. Interior desolation and an experience of God's justice, that was my prayer, and the moans and pain that welled up from my soul took the place of a sweet conversation with the Lord. She's praying hard for the sinners. Then suddenly I saw the Lord, who clasped me to his who clasped me to his heart and said to me, "My daughter, do not weep, for I cannot bear your tears. I will grant you everything you ask for, but stop crying." So good to cry, eh? You like to cry? Not, eh? You're very strong. You don't need crying. Yeah, Jesus, like, you cry. His heart soft, softened. It's a softener. Your tears is a softener. Yeah, Jesus very weak, eh? Jesus weak. He cannot sustain the crying of Sister Sina. And I was filled with great joy, and my spirit, as usual, was drowned in him as in its only treasure. Today, encouraged by his kindness, I conversed with Jesus at great length. When I had rested near his sweetest heart, I told him, "Jesus, I have so much to tell you." And the Lord said to me with great love, "Speak, my daughter." And I started to enumerate the pains of my heart. Ah, good, eh? You can tell Jesus how many things you need to, you want to cry and cannot cry. Tell Jesus. That is how greatly concerned I am for all mankind, that they all do not know you. And those who do not know you do not love you as you deserve to be loved. I also see how terribly sinners offend you. And then again, I see how severely the faithful, especially your servants, are oppressed and persecuted. And then too, I see many souls rushing headlong into the terrible abyss of hell. You see, Jesus, this is the pain that yawns at my heart and bones. And although you show me special love and inundates my heart with streams of your joys, nevertheless, this does not appease my sufferings I have just mentioned, but rather they penetrate my poor heart all the more acutely. Oh, how ardently I desire that all mankind turn trust in your mercy. Then, seeing the glory of your name, my heart will be comforted. Jesus listened to these outpourings of my heart with gravity and interest, as if he had known nothing about them. And they seemed to make it easier for me to talk, as if Jesus is ignorant. He doesn't know anything. So interested to listen and listen and listen. It's interesting, eh? I think Jesus is not pretending. If his heart, it's a big heart, a great heart. Sometimes we don't have this patience to listen to people, especially those painful things. We stop them for a sermon, then telling them, "It's okay, it's not if it's like that," then stop them, because you are hurt also. Could that be? When you hear the suffering of people, you suffer too, and you don't want to suffer, and don't want to hear anymore. Is it true? It's true. So Jesus is not like that. Jesus listen. He suffered also. Then Jesus said, "My daughter, those words of your heart are pleasing to me. And by saying the chaplet, you are bringing mankind closer to me." Divine mercy, the chaplet, divine mercy. You bring mankind closer to Jesus. This is the way. So, do you say your chaplet, divine mercy, during the day, during the week? Yeah? Every hour? No. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Good. We do the same. Exposition, Blessed Sacrament, every day. 3 o'clock to 4. If I'm present, if Father Sergio is present, we have exposition every day, 3 to 4. If not, people come before the Blessed Sacrament and do the chaplet of Divine Mercy. If you are hang around here, just walk, passing, you can come in to join us. After these words, I find myself alone, but the presence of God is always in my soul. Okay, the last word. Oh my Jesus, although I will go to you and you will fill me with yourself and that will make my happiness complete, I will nevertheless not forget about humanity. I decide to draw aside the veils of heaven so that the earth would have no doubt about the divine mercy. My repose is in proclaiming your mercy. Souls give the greatest glory to its creator when it turns with trust to the divine mercy. So this is her vocation to spread this good news. Divine mercy. We too, we try to spread. First of all, we trust completely, like Sister Faustina, everything confined to Jesus, everything, nothing hidden, all to her, and pray for, so it's not for herself, in her heart, the whole humanity is in her heart, we too. Even one sinner on earth, we still have to pray for. So with this spirit, and we continue to say our the chapter of Divine Mercy. Name Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.